We are beginning in the season here in November. I always see it to be more than just looking forward to that Thanksgiving Day, but see the idea, the concept that we should really be challenged to prompt people, to encourage people, to promote a sense of gratitude that overflows into service to God and to other people. The scripture actually abounds with such urgings and promptings. There are some favorite passages of mine that do that, but there is one that I'd like to focus on today that maybe you're not quite so familiar with, but certainly is a psalm of thanksgiving and one that really encourages and prompts us to be thankful. We're going to ponder today Psalm 107. Now, I'd like to encourage you to open your pew Bibles on page 947 to follow along. If you've brought your own Bible, that'd be great. Or if you have a device that you want to use, again, that has a Bible app on it, that would be great as well. But I'd encourage you to be reading along as you're listening to the reading today, because it's going to be the whole psalm. And it's a little lengthy, but as many of our senses as we get involved, the more likely we are to get the message that the Lord has intended for us, and even to retain that message. Now, since it's so long, and I want to make sure I have enough breath to finish the lesson today, I'm going to let someone else read it for you, okay?
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. For He breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, His wonderful deeds in the deep. For He spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and He guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who live there. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There He brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord.
But the last verse of that reading, the very last verse of that reading, says, whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. I think that's pretty telling, wouldn't you say? Because the great love of the Lord is truly something that we should consider, don't you think? It is something that we should ponder. And if we're wise, he says, we will. If we are wise, we'll certainly do that. We will take time to consider and to ponder upon the great love of the Lord. In fact, four times in this psalm, we find this exact expression. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men or mankind. Four times. That exact expression. So I wonder, what do you suppose the theme of this psalm might be? We're supposed to, you know, if we're wise, ponder on this, think on this. What do you think the theme of this psalm is? Well, it must be about giving thanks, right? Expressing thanksgiving to who? To the Lord. For what? His loving kindness. For his unfailing love. For his goodness to us, expressed time and time again. How do we do that? How do we do that? Does the psalmist have any suggestions for us about how to do that? If you were paying attention, following along, listening, I hope you saw that he surely does. He certainly does. First of all, what he urges us to do, he suggests that we do, is to give testimony. Now, you might think, oh, wait a minute, I give thanks to God. Yes, but he says one of the ways you do that is not just in saying thank you, God, but is giving testimony to others about God. After all, the opening verses say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Then the next part, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Say what? Say what? Well, say that the Lord is good as you express thanks to him. That we do that, that we continue to express that thanks to God, but we do it in such a way that it's a testimony to others. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Say that we have a reason to be grateful to the God of heaven. In fact, in verse 22, he says, let them tell of his works with songs of joy. And then in verse 32, let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Now look at that a minute. Let them tell of his works. How? With songs of joy. Right? Did we do that already this morning? I believe we did. And we're being instructed to do that here by the psalmist, that we should do that, and to praise him in the council of the elders, that we're to do that. Has there been anyone here ever redeemed by the Lord? So let the redeemed say so, right? Anyone here been rescued, delivered at any time in your life from some calamity, some hardship, some difficulty, some problem? That we might say, wait, I'm in the midst of one now. I'm not asking you about that right now. I'm asking you, has he ever delivered you in the past? Has he ever rescued you? Has he ever redeemed you? Well, I'm sure that we could share our stories. And guess what we're being told to do? Share our stories. Right? Share our stories. If God has rescued you, redeemed you, delivered you, at any time in your life, raise your voice and tell somebody. Tell somebody how thankful you are. Now, I'm not just saying do that. I want you to do that. So come on, I want you to turn to your neighbor right now. Everybody turn to a neighbor. You pick one on your right or left. And just say with me, I thank God for what he's done for me. That wasn't so hard, was it? That wasn't so hard. I think you could do it again. Turn to your neighbor, maybe somebody else now. I thank God for what he's done for me. Now, if you said that to somebody other than in this group, they might say, well, what's he done for you? Tell of his works. And you might want to do it with songs of joy, if the setting permits that. But you want to tell people the story of how God has been involved in your life, how he's rescued you, delivered you, helped you through so many things. Tell somebody. And you know what? It says to do that where? In the assembly of the people and in the council of the elders. Now, so I guess this would be the ideal time to do that, and we just did in some sense. But it's the ideal time because we're in the assembly, are we not? Ideal time. And I pray that whenever we're assembled, that we are doing that. That we are sharing our testimony. We are telling people either through song or through one-on-one. Sometimes, I'm sorry to say, it can get lost in the song. It shouldn't. We should be expressing that to the Lord. But, you know, the Apostle Paul writes and tells us that our singing and our assemblies is supposed to teach and admonish and encourage one another. Not, it's praise to God, but there's supposed to be a message in it for the rest of us too, to listen to and pay attention to and to be uplifted by. Testimony. As far as the council of the elders, now I don't know if you perceive that to mean your spiritual leaders in the church or whether you just think it's the older person sitting next to you. Or maybe not next to you, maybe in front of you, but the elders. Either way, once again, this is an opportune time, is it not? Is it not? And sometimes I think we might be prompted to wait for our elders to be the ones praising God and setting the example. But this is saying, hey, you set the example for them too. And we're waiting for the spiritual leaders to be the ones to promote and prompt this when we should be prompting and promoting it ourselves. Amen? We should be doing that. We should. No one has ever had greater reason to do this, to express again their gratitude to God in the assembly and out of the assembly, than we who have been rescued from condemnation, who have been freed from the control of our own sin. We have reason, do we not, to exalt him, to thank him, to praise him, to do that. Through the marvelous gift of God's Son, we have been redeemed. Have you? Let the redeemed say so. Have you been redeemed? Let the redeemed say so. Yes! I'm redeemed. I've been redeemed. Not because of my goodness, not because of my greatness, but because of his goodness, his greatness. And let me tell you about that. Let me tell you about his unfailing, great, wonderful, marvelous love extended to me. And it's available to you too. Times may be tough now, but glory's just ahead for those of us who've accepted Jesus our Savior. And listen, because of what he's done for us in Christ, we ought to be raising the roof with praise, expressions of thanksgiving. And you know what? When we're out from underneath this roof, we ought to be raising the roof of the ceiling of heaven with our praise, with our thanks, with our gratitude. We should be. But our celebration of Thanksgiving, of course, should not just, you know, end at the amen, the final prayer, or the final song as we sing people out. No, it should never be limited to a particular place or a particular time or to singing or praising in church. The psalmist prompts us to do something else. He prompts us to give a sacrifice. I don't know if you caught that, but it's there in verse 22. That the very first part of that verse says, of the redeemed, let them sacrifice thank offerings. The first part of verse 22, Psalm 107, let them sacrifice thank offerings. Let who do that? The redeemed. The redeemed. Let them do that. Why? To pay him so he will redeem us? No, because we've been redeemed. To express gratitude so they love us? No, because we are loved. Let the redeemed do this. Sacrifice, thank offerings. Now, you might be thinking, now, Pastor, I knew you were going to get to this sooner or later. You're going to be talking about tithes and offerings, aren't you? Hear me. That's not what this lesson is about, but it does not exclude tithes and offerings. It doesn't exclude our giving to the work of the Lord. It doesn't exclude our being generous to the needs of others. It doesn't exclude that at all. Not at all. In fact, the most thankful people tend to be the most generous people. Have you ever noticed that? The people who are most grateful for the blessings that they have, even if others might look at them and say, well, it doesn't look to me like you've got much, but boy, you sure give a lot. It's not always money, is it? See, a thank offering isn't always money. Matter of fact, back then it was a lot of different things. We'll talk more about that in the weeks to come, what a thank offering really is. But the idea is it wasn't mandatory. It was spontaneous out of a heart that was so grateful for what God has done for them. And it wasn't necessarily spelled out all the time what it needed to be. It was what your heart moved you to do and give. It was prompted not by, see, an order or the pastor getting up or the passing the plate. No, it was prompted by gratitude in the heart. Gratitude. I'm afraid the idea of a sacrifice of thanksgiving isn't something we usually even consider, the idea of a sacrifice. Unless we're talking about the turkey for Thanksgiving dinner. Now, there's a sacrifice. And sometimes it's even a burnt offering, depending on who's cooking it, right? But no. I'm sure you'd agree with me that it's entirely appropriate that not only at Thanksgiving time in this season, but every time we be remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made for us and being thankful for his sacrifice, for the life that he laid down, that we can have this life with God that's not just for a while, but that's eternal. But this text isn't talking about a sacrifice made for us. It's talking about a sacrifice made by us. I'm going to say that again. This isn't talking about a sacrifice made for us, but a sacrifice made by us. Now, we might, as we say, be prompted to give a sacrifice because of the sacrifice that's been made for us. But this is really talking about us making sacrifices because of our gratitude. Our gratitude. For now, just understanding again, the sacrifices are by us to God, not for us. Out of gratitude for what he's done for us. God demonstrating his great love, and us demonstrating our gratitude for his unfailing love. Unfailing love. So what shall we give? What shall we give? Once again, we're not talking about money per se, but we're not excluding it. But the idea of giving to where we believe God would be most pleased of our expressions of gratitude for him. The opening verse of Romans 12 sums it up perhaps best. Paul urges believers there about giving sacrifice offerings. He says there, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Some translations would say your reasonable service. The idea is out of gratitude for God, see, in view of his mercy, out of gratitude for what he's done for us, give yourself completely to him. Out of gratitude for his loving kindness, give yourself to him. It's the only reasonable response. It really is. It's the only logical one. And when we're truly doing that, when we're truly doing this, giving ourselves as a thank offering, because that's really what he wants, our hearts, when we're really doing that, we're going to be doing that first thing. We're going to be telling people about the goodness of God, don't you think? We're going to be expressing, again, gratitude for God, and we're going to be telling people about why we're grateful to God and why perhaps they should be too. We hope that they'll learn that. And we'll not be doing it out of duty, but again, out of an overflow of appreciation. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that you would agree with me about this, is that it's one thing for you to do something, say, for your child, and for them to receive it, and then you say, "What are you supposed to say? Come on, what are you supposed to say?" And what do you want them to say? "Thank you." That's one thing. When they say it, you say, "Good." And it is. It's good. But it's another thing when you don't have to tell them. You don't have to remind them. Am I right? Would you agree? I'm not trying to tell you. Trying to remind you, prompt you, encourage you, as the psalmist is, to do what should come naturally when we understand how good and loving and kind God is. We shouldn't have to be told, "Now, what should you say, children? What should you do, children?" Right? Out of the overflow of gratitude and appreciation for the love and the deliverance of God. The people in Psalm 107, this long list of folks who are not named, and there's some circumstances and situations that are mentioned that maybe you're not sure who he's even talking about, but there's some historical things going on there that he's reminding them about how God had delivered people in the past. And many times, more than once. Because they had been delivered, and then they slipped right back into the same situation where they needed to be delivered again. Can you believe that? That anybody would ever do that, make the same mistake twice, would be lifted out of the pit and fall right back in again? Can you believe that? None of us would ever do that. If we're honest, we have. More than once. But the beautiful thing in that psalm, and I just encourage you to read it for yourself again, read over it slowly, consider it, is whether it was the first time they fell in the pit or the second or the third, every time they cried out to the Lord, he delivered them. Every time he delivered them. He didn't say, "You know what? You messed up too many times. I'm tired of fooling with you. You never learn your lesson." Every time they cried out and he delivered. Most of you acknowledge that you've been delivered in the past. Guess what will happen now if you're going through a difficult time? If you cry out to the Lord, he'll deliver you. We want it to be right now, right this minute, right this second. At the right time, he will. We need to believe that, trust that. And thank him, see, for his past deliverances, trusting in the present and the future ones. Amen? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen? Amen. From what I can see, this is the heart that God wants us to have. This is his desire for us as we engage in a celebration of Thanksgiving. That again, it be celebrating him, and out of that comes Thanksgiving. Celebrating him, and out of that flows Thanksgiving. And when we're serving him, expressing gratitude that way, and expressing our gratitude and even helping and serving others, and sometimes just encouraging others when they're going through those hard times, as we've been encouraged, He's praised. He's exalted. Many of you are maybe familiar with, again, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talked about that city on a hill, a light that couldn't be hidden. And he said there that we should be light in the world. He says, and when we are, people will not be able to help but see our good deeds and praise the Father in heaven. What's it saying? That they'll thank God for your good. But I'm going to encourage you to think about that a minute, is that that may not happen unless you let them know with your heart of gratitude that what you're doing for them is out of an expression and overflow of what God's done for you. That it flows back to who? Who gets the praise? Somebody praises you and said, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for this. Say, all praise, all thanksgiving, all gratitude goes to who? God. Even in our service to others, praise and gratitude can be expressed to God. Understand that. Embrace that. Live that. Let's celebrate Thanksgiving today and always. That's God's desire. Let's remember Him and thank Him. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You for all that You've done, all You're doing, and all You promise yet to do. You're a good God, a loving God, a kind God. And sometimes maybe people don't see that because of what they're going through or what they're experiencing. And they don't see the goodness. They don't feel the love. And maybe that's us. Sometimes too. We can be short-sighted and have pretty short memories sometimes. I pray, Father, that we'll be renewed within our spirits and reminded today of Your loving kindness, of Your goodness, and how You've been with us and strengthened us and helped us through things in the past and will continue to. And most of all, may we know this. You loved us so much that You sent Jesus that we might be pulled from the deepest pit ever, that we had no hope of ever escaping without that gift of love. Father, I pray that there's someone here today who hasn't yet accepted the gift of Your Son and thereby doesn't really comprehend or understand totally what that even means, that they might be at least prompted to ask some questions and seek Your face and to find that goodness. May we do what we can to be beacons of light and hope in this world as You intended. Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. In Jesus' name.